With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year. It has received remarkably little coverage in the press, except for maybe The Telegraph, I think, had a rather extensive story on some proposed plans for restoring the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. It burned extensively. It was the loss of a national treasure. And it sounds like if some have their way, they will Disneyfy the inside of Notre Dame and maybe make the emphasis not so much on, well, the worship of the true God, but more on the environment, maybe a new God. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the restoration of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate and a barrister at law in England and Wales. He's also a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of more than 50 books, including his latest, Gastronomic Vade Mecum. And he joins us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
If you would paint a picture for our listeners of the Notre Dame Cathedral as it stood before it burned on April 15th in 2019?
Well, that's very difficult because the only way to appreciate a cathedral is actually to be present at it. It's extremely difficult to describe how a cathedral looks. For one thing, Notre Dame Cathedral went through several architectural phases, but the ultimate phase was Gothic. That means that instead of having the solid walls that were necessary during the Romanesque period, they were solid as a protection against barbarian invasions and the like. Instead of that, supports to the roof were created in the 13th, 14th century. These are known as flying buttresses, and what they do is take weight off of the roof and make it possible for the vertical walls to be penetrated by stained glass windows. The effect of this is when you enter a Gothic cathedral like Notre Dame, there is a long nave, a long entranceway where the worshipers will be present, and this leads up to the high altar, and at either end, there will be magnificent stained glass windows. In Notre Dame, there is the famous rose window. Most of these stained glass windows in Notre Dame have been, at least in part, replaced because of the historical conditions that have prevailed through the centuries. For example, at the time of the French Revolution, there was an effort to destroy all of the Christian art within the cathedral, and a goddess of reason, so-called, was dedicated on the high altar. This meant that the cathedral had to be restored to Christianity after the revolution, and this took place prior to the coronation of Napoleon in the cathedral. What you had before the fire is an amalgam of prior architectural styles, but principally this Gothic style that made possible stained glass windows that allowed light and beautiful imagery within the cathedral. Along the nave, along this long entranceway on either side, were sub-altars, were smaller altars, which were often dedicated to those who had contributed money to the cathedral, or they were represented by Roman Catholic orders. and there were masses for the dead. You must understand that during the Middle Ages, the conviction was that you were going to stay in purgatory a good long time. And in order to avoid this, you needed to have prayers for you go up after your death. And that meant that monastic orders and clergy that could supply consistent prayers received a great deal of money. And they were the ones that had the most influence at the very end of the Middle Ages. All of this, of course, changed radically with the Reformation, but the Reformation did not touch Paris to any real extent at all. There were certainly reformers, but they had very little influence, and the University of Paris, the theological faculty, remained consistently Roman Catholic. Fascinatingly enough, at the time of Luther, there were more theological students going all the way east to Wittenberg than were present at the theological faculty of the University of Paris, which showed that the Reformation and the Renaissance that was connected with it was having a far greater influence outside of France than it was having within France itself.
Of some concern then, and has received remarkably little press coverage, is the plan for restoration of Notre Dame after the fire. And I quote here from a Telegraph story. Under the proposed changes, confessional boxes, altars, and classical sculptures will be replaced with modern art murals and a new sound and light effects to create emotional spaces. There will be themed chapels on a discovery trail with an emphasis on Africa and Asia. The final chapel in the trail will have a strong environmental emphasis. And then Maurice Culotte, who's a prize-winning Paris-based architect, is quoted as saying, "It's as if Disney were entering Notre Dame." What are your thoughts there, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, he's perfectly right. Now, we have no idea if these plans are going to be implemented or not. There are a number of different plans for the restoration of Notre Dame after the fire, and we can only hope and pray that the maniacs who are suggesting these changes will lose out as things develop. It's important to realize that France does not suffer from the same degree of political correctness as exists in Anglo-Saxon countries, the U.S., Canada, Great Britain. The French are far more conservative temperamentally and artistically than we of the Western nations. And the reason for this is diverse. One important factor is that the French educational system is still very traditional. People are actually taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are taught logic. Philosophy is a required subject in high school. The average Frenchman tends to think before he opens his mouth, unlike people in certain other countries who shoot their mouths off constantly without thinking what they're saying or the implications of it. And therefore, I believe that there is every chance that the insane individuals who want to turn the interior of Notre Dame into a kind of Disneyland will lose out in the course of all of this. There has been a tremendous amount of negative criticism of that particular option, the one that you describe. The Telegraph tends to be a fairly radical English newspaper, and they just love to find things that will drive people crazy as they read the articles. So I'm not holding my breath. Now, at the same time, there is, of course, the radical left in France. It's just that they are now a very, very small minority. At the next election, the next national presidential election, the battle is going to be among three conservatives. And my goodness, you're not going to find communists of any consequence whatever. Once upon a time, communism was quite important in France. Now it is of no consequence whatsoever. Nobody votes communist. The fight is among conservatives. And I believe, therefore, that there is very little likelihood that these crackpot renovations to Notre Dame will ever take place. The trouble with all of this is, of course, that it is just a combination of political correctness and environmentalism. Environmentalism has turned out to be the new secular religion. And the people who don't believe in God believe somehow that the earth is an adequate substitute for God Almighty. And, you know, the irony of this is, of course, that the earth has never saved anybody. What the earth does is swallow you up. You get buried in it, for heaven's sake. You don't get saved by it. And political correctness simply means that if you have no ideas of your own and no philosophy underlying anything you're doing, then you simply go along with whatever the sociological majority happens to be saying. And there is that factor within French society, but thank heaven it is infinitely less than it is across the Atlantic. One of the neat things about living in France is that you're living among people who are doing more serious thinking and have a better sense of values in general than the average. It doesn't mean that you can't find crackpots. Of course you can, but they're harder to find.
I'm curious because when Notre Dame burned in 2019, the Western press, in particular the New York Times and several other papers, covered the fire as though it were essentially a fire at a museum, not a house of worship. And they continue to kind of regard this cathedral as mostly a national landmark and a museum for visitors rather than a place for worshipers. What are your thoughts there, Dr. McGough?
Christian landmark, but it is a kind of national symbol. The fact that Napoleon was crowned emperor within the cathedral, the fact that de Gaulle made that the culmination of his walk down the Champs-Élysées after the elimination of Hitler and Nazism. I mean, it's turned out to be a kind of physical representation of all the best that has constituted France. And you also must realize that up until the time of the Reformation, at least, France was the most Catholic country of Europe. It was a kind of a focal point of serious religion. And if you go back earlier than that, you have that period called the Babylonian Captivity of the Church, where there was a counter-pope in Avignon, a French pope, for almost 100 years. So the Christian tradition has been far more important in France than it has been in most Western countries. And the sad part about that, of course, is that the Roman Catholic Church, because of its power, attempted to dominate politics. And the result of this was a radical reaction, so that there was a secularization in the first decade of the 19th century, of the 20th century, 1905, which forced a separation of church and state that had not existed prior to that. And so it's against this background that we have to look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is both a great symbol of historic Christianity, no question about it, but it is also a great symbol of France as a people, as a nation.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest from Strasbourg, France, for an interview on the restoration of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Truth, goodness, beauty, that's what you'll find at Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran is a classical Lutheran school for students preschool through high school, live online classes in real time with two-way video for teacher-student interaction are also available for high school students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. On the other side, what effect did the French Revolution have on religion in France? With 5 weeks left in 2021, We need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
We're discussing the restoration of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris with Dr. John Ward Montgomery, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, you mentioned before the dedication of the Goddess of Reason there at Notre Dame's high altar during the French Revolution. What effect did that revolution have on religion in France?
Well, it didn't have a lot of influence in the ordinary parish. It had an influence among a relatively small group of intellectuals. And these intellectuals were not primarily French. They were mostly German. And this include Goethe and later Schiller and the German Enlightenment, the Aufklärung, as it was known. And the result, therefore, was that a stream of rationalism was introduced into French thinking, primarily on the German model, and that has had a strong influence in France right up to the present day. There's no doubt about this. The fascinating thing to me is that the Reformation should have given Germany the finest theological foundation of any nation. And within 100 years, they dumped Luther and the Reformation in favor of rationalism, in favor of each person being able to determine ultimate values himself or herself. You didn't need revelation at all. You didn't need the Bible. All you needed was the book of nature, and so on. And the irony of this is, of course, that on the basis of that, Germany went totally secular, and that was followed by the First World War, the Second World War, the horrible atrocities, and Germany became the pariah of modern civilization. No country has caused more misery for everybody else than Germany. I did an article a number of years ago called From the Reformation to Enlightenment, and in this article I argued that just as the rejection of our Lord by the Jewish people resulted in the miserable history of the Jews through most of Western history, so the rejection of the Reformation by the Germans after they had been given the gift of Luther and the Reform has resulted in Germany becoming a horror in modern history. And I think there's a lesson, a powerful lesson in all of this. It is that if you are given a gift of God, as the Jewish people were, as the Germans were, and then you thumb your nose at the one who gave it to you, you can expect the absolute worst. And, thank goodness France never went down that road. France did not pay attention to the Reformation as France should have. But at least France didn't, first of all, accept it and then ruin the country's own history by rejecting it.
Do we know how the restoration of the cathedral there in Paris is being funded?
Well, it's being funded by a vast number of contributions, some of them enormous contributions by friends of the French and by companies that do business in France and the like. The government, of course, is paying a great deal of money for this as well, and the Roman Catholic Church is obviously contributing to it. I don't know the exact percentages, and I don't think any way they would be significant at this point because we don't know what's going to happen. One thing is certain. If these maniacs who want to turn the cathedral into a temple to environmentalism and some kind of Disney-like entertainment, if they get control, I have a feeling that, and just a feeling, I am absolutely convinced that a lot of the people who are putting money into this are going to pull the money right out. They're not going to put up with this. That isn't why they're contributing. They're contributing because they want the restoration of the cathedral on the ideological basis that has already been established. They do not want some kind of new religion passed off on the country through changes.
Why were Christians of the past so committed, and we should say over generations, to building houses of worship like the Notre Dame Cathedral that were constructed not only with great sacrifice, but were built different from the culture of the day, grander than anything else?
Well, the church was convinced, as it should have been, that the spiritual was more important than anything else, and therefore any symbol of the church was something that had implications for eternity, not just in time. And in France, even in little villages, the tallest building is invariably the church. And this was done intentionally. The idea was that every day as you walk down the street, you can't help but look upward to the spire of the cathedral. What's that going to do? It's at least going to suggest, even to a pagan, that maybe things are not as earthy as the pagan would like them to be. And I'm in favor of this. In the States, when I see churches built like tenement boxes, when I see these storefront churches, I ask myself, who under the sun is going to be attracted to go into a place like that? Now, the counter-argument is, suppose all the money you spent in church building was used for foreign missions. Well, foreign missions they ought to receive one of the highest proportions of any church budget. But it seems to me that if you lose the perspective of the medieval church, that people's perspective should be drawn up to heaven. If you lose that, you're going to lose the base of the church, and if you lose the base of the church, its operation here in the West, you're also going to lose any possibility of foreign missions. So it seems to me it's a matter of trying to keep perspective.
Dr. Montgomery, before we let you go, what can you tell us about the 2022 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights?
Well, I would send people to our website, which is www.apologeticsacademy.eu, EU for Europe, and there is the complete program set forth. This is the program which originally would have been presented 2 years ago, but because of the COVID problem, it has not been possible to have the Academy session in July those 2 years. But that session is taking place this July with exactly the same professors, and there are still a few places still open. The people who signed up 2 years ago are coming, with a couple of exceptions, and those who have had to cancel have opened up a couple of spots. So it's something to think about. And if one doesn't get one of those spots, then one's registration is carried over automatically to the following year. So we're intending to move ahead again starting in July of this coming year.
Learn more about the 2022 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with the 1517 Legacy Project, and he's Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's author of more than 50 books, including his latest, A Gastronomic Vade Mecum, and he joined us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome, as always.
Dr. Hadley Arkus is with us on the other side. We're going to have him do some analysis of the Supreme Court oral argument in Dobbs v. Jackson that is making the news, that was held yesterday. He was not particularly impressed with arguments on either side, but particularly unimpressed with arguments on the side trying to strike down the Mississippi gestational limit law. We'll find out why after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.